Our reading this evening comes from the New Testament and from the Gospel of Luke. We read from chapter 24 and from verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death. And they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb earlier this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it, just as the women had said. But him they did not see." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Amen. For a short while, dear friends, before the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, I'd like to share with you some thoughts on the reading we shared earlier in the service, the story of the two disciples walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus on Easter day. Now, I must admit, this is a sermon I've preached many, many times, and I always look for something new to be able to say from texts we're familiar with. And that was the challenge of this particular portion of Scripture, because what other sermon can you preach on Easter night other than the story of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus? It's almost a necessity, it's almost compulsory to preach a sermon on the events of Easter day. This morning, you remember, we looked at the glorious good news of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, the experience of the disciples, but now it is the close of the day. And when I kind of think of something new to say about this, well, there is always something new in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit can take the words that we offer, can turn them into those things that means that so much to us. So what can we say? We're familiar with the story, two disciples on the road to Emmaus, following the events of first Easter day. They were disciples of Jesus, those who weren't in perhaps the community of those who were close to him, but certainly those who followed him. And they were those who were walking from Jerusalem. Having heard that Jesus had been raised from the dead, they were talking about these things together and discussing them. And it was a long journey, it was 7 miles, and the track might have been a bit weary for them after the events of the day. But certainly one thing is sure, that was paramount in their minds. Is it right? Can it be true that Jesus was raised from the dead? Many are saying this, but can we believe it? I think we're a bit like that sometimes, especially people in the world. Can we really believe the gospel? Can we really believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and was raised on the third day? Is it possible that might that happened, or was it something that the early church put together in order to place Jesus within the terms of Scripture as someone who he was not? But that doesn't quite ring true. 2,000 years of the witness of the Christian church, and this story remains as authentic and as real as ever. 2,000 years of the gospel and the preaching of the gospel has never brought doubt upon the word of God. In fact, it reinforces the word of God and it affirms the actual truth of the word of God. One of the astronauts who was going around the moon at the moment, he said recently, apparently, "You can't be an atheist from here as you see the beauty of God's creation and the vastness of it all. You can't be an atheist. I was an atheist, but I can't be an atheist anymore. God created the ends of the earth, the beauty of creation and all that there is." But how do we come to know this God? That's the very impetus of this story. How can we get to know him? How can we get to understand him if he is beyond the framework of our human mind? I'm far from being someone who understands technology. I'm not. I'm a child of the 60s. I can't even stand. I couldn't even come to terms with my Walkman when I had 1 years ago. But certainly today, technology is something that's expanded to such an extent. You just can't comprehend it. You can't understand it. There was a lady in the soup station on Wednesday evening, and she was from El Salvador. And she didn't have a word of English, but she had her phone in her hand. And as she was speaking Spanish into the phone, so the phone was repeating it back to me in English. Can you imagine that? Unbelievable. But there again, something is happening in the world of technology. I don't understand it. I don't understand fully the extent of a God who created the ends of the earth. I don't fully understand when I look at the vast claims of science and that which has been, and this world that is billions and billions, and the possibility of solar systems beyond this one. My little mind begins to shatter and begins to lack an understanding. But one thing I know, I have seen him in Jesus. As much as I need to know and I want to know is in him. God sent his Son into the world that we might know and understand who he is. That we might know that Tikevni Drem Regliniaeth Vaith, when Gwisgo Wineb Tad. That we might know at the heart of this universe is a God who is love and yearns for people to come into a relationship with him. I know that the prophets spoke of one who would come and they didn't fully understand who it would be, but in the fullness of time, the Isaiah's prophecy of the suffering servant came into being. A baby was born, the suffering servant, the one who would live among men and declare to us the very heart of God. I can understand. That's as much I need to understand and want to understand. We see in Jesus. And this is what is happening here on the road to Emmaus. They were talking, can this be true? Can it be true? Yes, it is true, dear friend. Believe the gospel tonight. Believe the good news of Jesus Christ. Believe that he was raised from the dead on the third day. You and I might understand it, but we can accept it by faith. You and I can believe and make that step of faith and belief and trust in him. And know that all these two were talking among themselves. Can it be true? They were discussing these things. It's good to discuss things, but there comes a time when we need to make that step of faith. And to trust and believe in the God who created the ends of the earth and the God who has come into this world in Jesus Christ to redeem and to restore and make all things new. And then Jesus began to open the scriptures to them. This stranger just walked with them. It always amazes me how they didn't recognize him, you know. Surely they would have known Jesus, wouldn't they, before? Because obviously they would have been his disciples. They describe his disciples, Cleopas and his friend. Why didn't they recognize him? Was it that at that time they weren't meant to recognize him? Was it at that time that Jesus didn't want to be recognized until he had explained to them who he was? Surely that was the case. And they begin to speak and Jesus began to explain to them that one had to come. The chief priests and our rulers have handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. Jesus opened the scriptures to him. Opened the scriptures to him, to them. And explained to them. And explained to them who he was. And they began to take it in. And that's wonderful, the way that God, in the power of the Holy Spirit, deals with us like that, you know. We are here tonight because we have a yearning to worship God, but surely to learn more of him. You know, sometimes our children and our grandchildren, you know, they go to school and sometimes they take things in like a sponge. A young mind can take things in like a sponge. And when your granddaughter gets to 14 and when you ask her to do something and she says, why? You understand where they're going, huh? But the reality is this, of course, is that we need to be explained to. I need it explained to me. And there's no better teacher than Jesus. He explains to them here who he is. The one long awaited. The one now who had come. What does he explain to you and I in our Christian pilgrimage? What does he explain? I reckon he explains three things to you and I on the close of Easter Day. First of all, he explains to us that he is the one who has come according to the scriptures. Believe the Bible, believe the word of God, he has come to fulfill. He came in patience to explain to those who needed this to be explained to them. Now, I'm sure that you, like me, can remember teachers in school that took time to explain things to us. Same as Sunday school, junior church. What's going on? We explain to our children. We reveal things. Not too much, but that they can come to an understanding. You'd never feed a newborn baby on rice pudding and Yorkshire pudding, would you? You gave them milk, first of all. They explain to our children and young people who he is. It's the same with us. The word of God invites us to grow in faith and knowledge of him, to an understanding of who Jesus is. That's why we come to church. That's why we come to listen to the exposition of the word, that we might grow in faith and knowledge in him, that hopefully the word is explained and the nature and character of the gospel comes through. And what is the nature and the character of the gospel? Jesus outlined it for us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and love your neighbour as you love yourself. Love each other, that means. Loving each other in the church. Tolerating each other in love. We might have different points of view. Different theological perspectives. They fall down when we look at Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And what does he teach his disciples to do? To love one another as I have loved you. That's what we do. We don't dominate over others. We seek to do what we can to help and support people along the way. The authority of the pulpit is not 6 foot above contradiction, dear friends. And I'm glad if you can say to me sometimes something you disagree with. I won't show you the door, I promise. But what I try and do is explain. And to bring Christ a little bit closer and a deeper understanding of who he is. That's what the church is here to do. We have 4 young people coming to be baptized. It's been a joy to share with them and sharing them along the way and explaining to them as they come to faith and understanding of who Jesus is. It's wonderful to hear and try and answer their questions, because they have questions. They're young. They're growing up in a world that is fastly changing. And they need to a deeper understanding that there will be times in their lives when they will be challenged. There will be times that they'll go through the valley of doubt and despair. There will be those times. But each step of the way, there is someone who comes alongside and who opens up the word to us, and he is Jesus. And when we look to Jesus, the Hebrew says, we look to the author and the perfecter of our faith. Because he is our friend. He is the one who will never leave or forsake us. And that's what he did here. Why did he bother with just 2 of these disciples? Why did he appear to them? Because they needed to know and understand. And Luke records this story that we might understand who Jesus is and the very nature and character of a God who wants to explain and wants to reveal to us his love and his compassion and his grace and the fulfillment of who he is. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And then, of course, not only did he explain to them, but he said all of this has been fulfilled in him. Doubting Thomas, a week later, would go through the same experience. In that upper room, Jesus came a week later. Because this man, he wouldn't believe. Unless I see it with my own eyes, unless I see his risen side, unless I see his nail-pierced hands, I will not believe. And what did Jesus do? He didn't reject him. He came and he showed him. And Thomas bowed before him and he said, "My Lord and my God." Don't battle with a lack of faith. But just trust and believe. Just accept Jesus at his word. And then you will come to an understanding of what these people knew. And then finally, dear friends, they shared in a meal together. There must have been a depth of fellowship there. And there must have been that impetus with Cleopas to invite Jesus into his house. And it was there in the breaking of the bread that they knew who he was. And they asked the question, when they come to know him, when he disappeared from their sight, because Jesus went on from here, they said, "Weren't our hearts strangely warmed?" There's only one person who can warm your heart and mind, and that's Jesus. There's only one who can take us from the darkness and depths of despair and bring us to the light of his salvation. It is Jesus. It is only one who stands with us in his risen power and enables us to know that perfect certainty of his love, his unending and undying love, and it is Jesus. Here on the road to Emmaus is that wonderful picture. The old hymn says, he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. Yeah, isn't it wonderful? He tells me I am his own. Someone like me, someone like you. I am his own. That's why he came. And St. Emmaus said that if there was only one person in need of redemption, Jesus would have gone to that cross for that one person. And as Mrs. Thomas is to pray in the prayer meeting on the cross, Lord, you thought of me. You thought of me. How can anyone compare to him who came in the fullness of time to be our Saviour? And so tonight, dear friends, on this Easter night, let's give thanks. Jesus meets us on the way. He not only meets us in the sacred places, of course he does, but he meets us in everyday living as we walk along this, the pilgrimage of this world, and brings us into a relationship with him. And as we know, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Amen.